Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. And for all you One Final Scare listeners, Audible's offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. I've used Audible for about 2 years now for all my audiobook needs, and I'm currently listening to Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, a counterintuitive approach to living a good life. It's a modern-day self-help book that tells us how to stop trying to be so positive all the time so that we can truly become better, happier people. Check it out, or you can download any other audiobook of your choice. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/onefinalscare. Again, that's audibletrial.com/onefinalscare for your free audiobook.
Sad today.
Why are you sad today?
Because this might be our last episode.
Oh, why?
So you might not make it back from Africa.
Oh no. Don't die.
You might catch a virus or just get lost, eaten up by
lions.
A great white shark.
Or I'm not getting in the water with great white sharks. That's my biggest fear. That's terrible. That's friggin' no.
So yeah.
But don't worry. For every this one person that's like super excited for me to go, there's another person that thinks I'm going to die. So you're in that group. Okay. I will be back.
I am.
But I am leaving.
We're all risk averse.
I am what?
I said we're all risk averse to a degree.
I'm trying to take more risks. So this is my attempt at being more risky.
2 weeks.
Huh?
2 weeks, man.
I know.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. It's the longest I've ever been away on travel, actually.
Longer than we've been doing this.
No, it's not. We're in what week now? Like, for real, for real. We started in like...
month? 1 month?
I think we started doing this and planning mid-December, right? And then we kind of launched
production-wise, right?
Mid-January, and here we are mid-February.
1 month, right?
Yeah. So technically 2 total. And this is the end of our relationship now.
Africa's ruining everything.
So speaking of taking risks, that's a really good segue into this episode, this special-sode, shall we say.
This jump scare episode, little mini-sode.
Oh my God, stop trying to push jump scare. You know, don't you hate jump scares?
I'm going to make it happen.
We're not calling this episode jump scare. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I hate jump scares.
Why do you hate jump scares, by the way?
Because it's not actual.
Cheap.
Yeah. It's not the definition of scare. Like, it's not actually like frightening, creepy.
Yeah.
It's anything could be. You could just say it, you know, explosion, right? It's just a jump scare.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're not expecting it.
So you just want the story to be scary all the time.
Jump scare's cheap. I mean,
they
like,
work though.
Don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, a gunshot wound to the leg works every time. But it's like that, you know?
What are you talking
There's
about?
There's no substance.
If it gets the entire audience, like if you were to make a movie and it got the entire audience,
and not only that, if you keep doing it, like overuse it,
okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm with you.
There's a reason.
There's a time and a place.
If people don't like scary movies because they get anxiety, right? Because all the frequent jump scares that are back to back.
Sure.
That's why people hate them.
Yeah.
If they're written well, right?
Yeah.
Shot well. Good story. People will embrace them more.
Yeah.
Like the movies we're about to talk about.
So.
Films that we're about to talk about in a few minutes.
Well, we're talking, not necessarily movies, but women. We're talking about women in horror today.
I know, I was trying to, yeah.
Trying to, another segue.
But these movies are good movies.
Yeah. And they're.
Well, except the last one.
I don't even know what one you're talking about, because we're talking about so many things. We're barely organized. I leaving on a trip in just a few hours. You know, I didn't get to take all the notes how I usually do.
Talking about your vacation.
Okay, I will stop. But so what we were saying is, or what I was saying was, segue from taking risks. Why don't we start by talking a little bit about Women in Horror Month and kind of why it started or who created it? Yeah, you
sure.
want to?
Sure.
So I didn't actually know, and I'm really excited that we launched this horror movie podcast around this time, because I found womeninhorrormonth.com.
How did you stumble upon it?
Honestly,
I remember.
No, I kind of want to say I saw someone on Instagram hashtag it, and so it made me check out the hashtag. Then I think I saw the logo and I was like, oh, it's a real thing. And then I followed it to the website. And I was like, There's a logo. It's a real thing. You know, when you got a logo, you for
it's like,
real.
It's like a store sign, right?
Yeah, right. So I went to the website and I found it's the 8th annual Women in Horror Month.
Wow.
And so I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I saw that there were a lot of cool things happening, lots of events happening every month, and that you can search by date, you can search by state, and you know where events are happening. I started checking a couple things out, and I saw that there were a couple other fellow horror podcasters up there. So I figured we would, you know, enter ours. So we're up on the events page, which is super cool, and here we are today on our first of two special episodes, I guess. Next week we'll be doing another one.
Yeah.
Okay. And so anyway, you asked me to do some research because that's what men do, right? They ask the women to do the research.
Yeah. A lot of movies like that, right?
Yeah. And
is there one out right now?
What?
I don't know. I thought there was. Something like, there's like a TV show, right?
About what?
On Amazon Video or whatever. It's like three girls. It's like a period piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that
they're
yet.
They're journalists?
Or I think you're right.
Or they're like secretaries
in the
first?
60s?
Yeah.
I forget what it is.
I forgot what it was. Yeah.
I'm blanking out right now.
And they take over.
I'm on vacation time. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so basically I looked it up. There's this cool chick called Hannah Neurotica. She was the creator of this independent zine.
Wait, go back.
What?
What's her name?
Hannah Neurotica. That's not a real last name. No, I forget what it is, but we'll leave that behind, as she seems to have done. And so she created Axe Wound, Gender and the Horror Genre, which is fucking awesome.
Or she's going to not
what?
Mention
it,
the name.
Everyone
of the
knows what an axe wound is, and the obvious correlation to the menstruating piece of a body. So anyway, she wanted to create a dialogue about gender in the horror slasher gore genre, I guess. And, which is the genre that is typically thought to reinforce sexism, right?
Yeah.
And
so why February?
Well, basically in February, 8 years ago, she wound up writing a manifesto. I don't know if it was part of her zine or not, but she wound up writing a manifesto, I think out of frustration and whatnot. And it just so happened to be in February when she wrote that manifesto. And I think when she wrote that, it became a thing. It became Women in Horror Month. So she created it then. And
there's another big month in February.
There is.
Yeah.
Black History Month?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say your birthday. But
thanks, Vicky. Black History Month is way more important.
No, I was talking about Black History Month. I was talking about Black History Month.
Okay. So anyway, it's all to celebrate the genre contributors, female, you know, genre contributors, and, you know, the films directed and produced and written and photographed by them. And then, of course, you know, it's also meant to call out, you know, makeup artists and fine artists.
Do you say films are photographed by them?
That's
interesting. I mean,
yeah, I don't. Video.
I mean, that's technically, I guess, correct. But
yeah,
no one uses that lingo. Yeah.
And then, you know, anybody else who's a female, including fans like me. So here we are. I'm half of us. I'm half of us, and I'm a female, and I'm super excited to be here.
I think it's a great thing. But I just unfortunate. I think it's in February. I don't know why that bothers me so much.
I don't know either. Really focus on this whole February thing.
I think it's a really cool thing, because women have been. I mean. They star, right? And almost, if you count them out, right? I bet you there are a lot more women in horror, character-wise, mm-hmm. whether they're victims or heroes.
Yeah.
I bet more than men.
You know, that's a good question. Probably.
They're always.
Definitely more than action.
They're definitely on the,
definitely
on
more
the cover
than
most of the time.
Yeah.
Back in the
'70s,
the exploitation films
and
all
thing.
That. Yeah.
The whole sexism thing. Yeah. I mean, how many of their roles are play into those types of, I don't know, you know, into the sexism.
A lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
Those like whatever few buckets that they have, they put women in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about, and we just kind of casually came forward with a few names of some rock stars in horror, and so we'll talk about a couple of them.
Rock stars in horror.
Female rock stars in horror.
rock star.
They're not like real rock stars.
Rock star library.
They're not like actual also musician rock stars. Well, they could be, but
you don't know. Yeah,
they
know.
Could be. All right, so let's just start ripping through some.
Let's slash through some.
So my brain first went like to just talk about some people who have made, you know, waves through the horror industry. One of the first things that came to mind is Guinevere Turner and Mary Harron, who, what are you looking at me like that for?
What? Oh, nothing.
Okay. You were like, don't do it or something. Like it was just going to be one of yours or something. Anyway, so obviously, I don't know. I'm sure you know who they are, but they were instrumental in the creation of American Psycho, starring Christian Bale. Yes?
Yeah. Did you know this? Did you know this yesterday?
Did I know what?
Did you know this yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I actually knew this before yesterday.
All right.
Yeah. I knew this way before yesterday. I was just trying to make sure I got their names perfectly right and all that good stuff. I'm sorry. Are you trying to like mock me or something? No, being prepared?
You have this thing when you're like, when you're speaking off the top of your dome and then your notes.
Oh.
You're faster, obviously.
Faster. Okay.
Like on your, you like.
Yeah. All right. So tell me, what do you think about American Psycho? What do you remember about American Psycho?
Man. I just went blank. What's the actor's name?
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale running down the hallway, right? Blood all over him, and the chainsaw going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a visual that when someone mentions American Psycho, it's the first visual that I think of.
Yeah.
I remember that it's a sort of a, I could be wrong, but it's a metaphor for the decadence of the 80s,
mm-hmm.
right?
In the Reagan era.
Yeah. I saw it once.
Oh,
and it
really?
It was like a long time ago.
It has been a while.
So it's like...
Like bringing forward these names, I kind of want to watch it again because it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But I really do love this
movie.
What
year was that? What year did it come out?
That's a very good question.
Oh, what?
Oh, I thought you were researching. What year did it come out? It's pretty old now.
You don't know?
You're such a jerk. Let me Google that for you. How fast is my 2000? I honestly was going to guess late 90s, but
yeah.
So in the year 2000, this movie was made. And the interesting thing about it, I don't know if you've ever read the book. I know you're quite the book reader, but the book was written by a man. His name was Bret Easton Ellis, and the book is written very heavily, from a male perspective. So it's a little more gruesome. It definitely has more misogynistic overtones.
So Genevieve or Guinevere, what's her name?
Guinevere.
Guinevere, she
wrote the screenplay.
Okay.
Yeah. So essentially when this movie came to be filmed, the producers had to figure out what to do. Like, so Guinevere, I don't know how she became, she's a writer, actor, director, and I don't know how she got to write the screenplay. I don't know how that happened, but you know, she obviously had a task at hand. And, I think she took a very, very kind of sexist story and turned it into a very feminist one. And the interesting thing is, that the producers, they wanted a female director, so that was Mary Harron. They wanted a female director because they knew that there was going to be so much public outcry in the year 2000, I guess, about this very sexist film, right? So they figured that by having a woman, be the director of it, that all the controversy would be lessened because a woman would be at the helm of it, right? And I think in general, in the beginning, it was actually really controversial. And there was, I think, protests against it. People didn't want to go watch it. And it was all because they hadn't seen it yet. And so I was talking about the movie with a friend the other night. I was like, do you remember it as being a sexist film or a feminist film? And he actually was like, oh, it's totally feminist. I was like, okay, good. So I think people, you know, I think they at first glance, or if they don't really think about it, they just see it as a man killing women. And, you know, he's just totally egotistical. He's an egomaniac.
First saw it. That's right.
But if you watch
it on the surface.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, possible, yeah. And if you really think about it, though, it's like, oh, of course, it's totally mocking American greed and wealth and, you know, corporate bullshit. And
and you're telling me the book wasn't like that.
The book was, but this movie, the way that they made it, it's like completely mocking men, the men that live like this, the men that believe that business cards are the most important thing to live for, you know? And so, yeah, I think we should go back and watch it together.
Yeah.
But I, yeah, they did a great job with this movie. And so basically, I think people started to realize the statement that was made after watching the film. And of course, now it's a cult classic. So, yeah. So, you know, high fives to Mary and Guinevere.
High fives.
High fives. It's two high fives. Oh, my God. So.
That was extensive.
Yeah.
It's like a book report.
That's what I do.
I'm going to do mine like a bully reading me the book.
And do
he
it.
Has to give a book report.
Tell me. Who are you talking about? Do it. Do it now, cuz.
So, I guess we had homework, and Tracy gave me homework. She's like, hey, you have to think of a female.
Think of a female.
Think of a female. That, I don't even need homework for. I just, all the time, every day.
Okay, say it. The suspense has been built.
So, I've been wanting to watch the new horror film that's out called Invitation.
You have been. You've asked me twice now. I know. Watch it.
I want to see it, and one of the reasons are because Karen Kusama directed it. It was written by her husband and his friend. And it's came out earlier this year, and I've heard nothing but good things about it from people who've seen it. So I was like, wow, Karen Kusama, I remember what coming out of art school, she had just done Girl Fight, and that It was like a big thing because...
That was also the year 2000, by the way, Girl Fight.
Awesome. And Michelle Rodriguez, that movie actually just made Michelle Rodriguez popular, right? And she came out, and after Girl Fight, she went on to shoot, I think, Aeon Flux, which was a huge, big, big budget film. It was, I think it was like $65 million budget.
I have a question.
And Girl Fight was $1
million. I have a question about Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
I remember the old MTV series.
It's based on that.
Okay, so... But who created that? Not her?
Yeah, it's, I can't remember his name, but it's this Asian guy. I can't remember his name.
God,
it's
like I loved like that. Okay, I'm sidetracked, but
completely off, but yeah.
Okay.
And then she made several other films, I think smaller films. She went right to Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, in 2009.
Which was Diablo Cody's script.
And you and I both have seen that.
Yeah. And I think I went in with really high expectations.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah. You didn't?
No.
Did you not like Diablo Cody's writing?
No, I liked it because I went in with really low expectations.
That makes sense. I mean, it was written by Diablo Cody, directed by Karen Kusama, and starring Megan Fox. I mean.
Yeah. Which so, I have to say, like, I
triple
just.
Triple threat.
Yeah. And I didn't have.
At the time, right? Megan Fox was really popular at the time.
Super popular. Yeah. I wasn't of the mindset that she was super popular for all of her acting skills.
And I think she gets nude in the movie. That's why.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Leading up to it, I was like, okay, Megan Fox is super popular because she's one of the most gorgeous women on earth. And that's fine. But it wasn't because I think her acting was stellar, right? So I walked into this movie. I think I watched it by myself late one night. And
But the movie doesn't really expect a lot from her, right?
Right.
Her character.
What is the other girl's name in it? I'm totally flipped.
Who's super, super popular, who's amazing singer.
Yeah, and I love her.
Mamma Mia, she's in Les Mis.
Are you going to say her name?
Amanda Seyfried.
Seyfried. Yeah, Seyfried. Seyfried. I don't know how to, is that a silent G?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Amanda Seyfried.
I don't know exactly what her last name is. I'm just guessing.
So that movie, I think I was pleasantly surprised. But,
so you liked it. It's quite a surprise.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was just, you know, like I could just check out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Watch it again.
So
it was interesting because she, because in 2000, there wasn't a lot of, never mind female directors, female Asian director.
Right. You know, right.
Going from an indie film that got amazing critical acclaim, and then going from there to a huge film, sci-fi film, that bombed, sort of, right? I don't think it made its money back. And then doing an indie horror film with big, you know, I think Diablo Cody's just coming off of Juno.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know, and I feel like, so I sort of loosely followed her career, right? And then after Jennifer's Body, I stopped following her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And so basically when The Invitation came out, I didn't even know she was attached to it.
Right. And then what was interesting is, so Invitation, I think, is categorized as horror. And then she directed a couple episodes of my favorite TV show of 2000, one of my favorite shows of 2016, Halt and Catch Fire. So I was watching that. And I was like, holy crap, Karen Kusama's still working. Like, she's like, and season two episodes that she directed were beautiful. So, and then maybe I sent you that trailer, The XX, which is, why wasn't that released in February? That should, now I think about it. So it was, it's a horror anthology written and directed by all women.
Because we were going to watch that too. You're right.
Yeah. That would have been perfect to release in February. Maybe it is out. I don't know.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. So, and then I saw her name again for the third time, you know, Halt and Catch Fire, and then Invitation, and XX.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, like, okay, she's sort of making a comeback.
So she's kick ass.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Halt and Catch Fire yet.
And
it's not horror.
Like,
I'm kidding.
And you know, she, in, even back in 2000, like, I think when she did, she wrote Girlfight and she was trying to get funding, she fought for a Latin lead to be in that movie, you know, and because I think a lot of the producers, production company was like, well, we got to put like, you know, a white female actress, to, you know, someone who's already famous. And that's one of the reasons that it's, at least on Wikipedia that I read, that it took her 2 years to raise just $1 million. I don't even know. How do you even raise $1 million? You know, I always like,
I have no idea,
read about like indie films.
I don't think I could raise like $100.
Yeah, and how raise like money. I'm like, holy crap, how do you even raise money? Back in 2000, there was no social media that you can blast it out to.
Yeah.
So I just, I always thought that was sort of awesome that people could do that, right?
I also, I looked up one of Karen Kusama's quotes about this movie.
Yeah.
About Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, this, the one I'm looking at. And, she said she signed on to the project because of the script. She said, I was blessed to read the script at a moment where the producers were meeting with directors and it just knocked me out. It was just so original, so imaginative. She said, that's what it is about the script in the world, is that it feels like a fairy tale gone psycho. And I think that's what most fairy tales actually started as. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
You watch it again.
Yeah.
I have it. It's like spare somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'd watch it again too, I guess. All right, man. That was good.
Yeah.
So next one. Who else are we talking about? Who else do I want to talk about? I'll tell you who I want to talk about.
What?
Who? Well, you know what? I had this one like randomly because I thought about her the other day and I was like, you know who I just want to talk about? R.I.P. Zelda Rubinstein. Or Rubinstein. I never know which one that is, but the little old lady from Poltergeist. I like literally miss her.
What's that line that she says?
This house is clean.
That was pretty good.
And something I didn't know, because I thought about her and then I looked it up, and she was a cool ass person. She was
talking about Poltergeist a lot recently too.
I know. So that's kind of why I was thinking about it. I know. And then somebody's first movie, first horror movie experience. Who was that? Was it Mark? It was Mark.
That's right.
Yeah. Good old Mark. Giving us some good old fan videos. Anyway, so Zelda Mae Rubinstein, was an American actress and human rights activist, which is, I mean, I just love people who are human rights activists. And obviously known as the eccentric medium Tangina Behrens. and in the Poltergeist film series.
They could have just used her real name and that would have been fine.
I know, right? Zelda. Like, that's an amazing name. Actually, she was also the like witch and Teen Witch, another great film. And I can't remember what her name is in that, but I wonder if it was Zelda, because it should have been.
I think my clothes are dry.
Oh, good. I'm glad the dryer's... I told you. Every time we record an episode, your fucking dryer's running. I knew it. I said that. It's always the washer or the dryer. It's right here. How about next time? Let's hit it on pause, okay? Or do it earlier. All right, you know, all right, whatever.
I like warm underwear.
What?
Oh, I like to wear them fresh out of the...
Oh, God. Anyway, so she was outspoken on behalf of little people, as she was. And she also was a participant in the fight against HIV and AIDS. So okay. She kept herself busy. Yeah, she's just a cool person. She was a cool person. She was a cool woman. And I just love her role on Poltergeist. She's so memorable, like out of the whole movie. I mean, there's a lot of memorable moments, but I don't know. There's just something special about that woman.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think she was very... I think I remember reading that because of her size, she... I don't think she was really comfortable, I guess, with herself and until she decided to become an actress. So that was like pretty... That's a pretty big jump, right? For somebody who's kind of worried about how they... come off as being a little person, and then she wound up jumping into being an actress, which is also a risky thing to do, as we started talking about taking risks, right? So anyway, then she remained active in film, and she was like always a psychic character. So typecasted.
Yeah.
And rightly so, I think. Yeah. She did a good job. So.
That's Hollywood for you.
What, being typecasted?
Typecasting, yeah.
It happens.
The lazy casting agent. Lazy casting
They're
agent.
Like, oh, you know that person.
Yeah.
They play a really good psychic.
You know what?
Let's just call her
you
again.
You know what? You know, I joke about that now, but if you think about it, you know how the movie production is pretty hectic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that this isn't excusing what Hollywood does or did in the past about typecasting. But I bet you a lot of it, it was, you know, it's like, let's put this thing together. Let's go. And it's just like, boom, boom, boom. You, this, you, that, that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, just like not really thinking about the repercussions that it might, cultural repercussions they might have.
Right. Oh my God, you know, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're Asian, man. You can be fucking Kung Fu master. And blah, blah, blah.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You still happens.
You can be a suburban mom. Let's go. Let's go. Next.
Now we're just changing up all kinds of things.
Okay.
Now we put... Oh.
So is fun, it, fun little thing.
What's a fun little thing?
Let's do top five.
Top five, right? What?
Top five... horror films, that has strong female character. Go. Okay.
Number five. We're going to work our way up to one, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Number five, Candyman.
You know, I saw that once. I don't remember her being...
Virginia Madsen as Helen. Yeah. Helen Lyle.
Yeah. I know at the end of the movie... There's a twist, but
yeah. So I think that's what made her.
I like how like we
strong female. Like, do you remember?
All of a sudden, I'm like censoring myself. Oh, I don't want to give out the ending of
this
Candyman.
Is such an old movie that I mean that's the thing. Like,
but like
we prep everybody
whole,
to go like I know like telling the whole movie.
Telling the whole thing.
That's the thing. We had to make a rule, right? We were like, we'll ruin movies. Not ruin. We got to stop saying that. We'll retell the whole movie. I know. I said it. I'm self. Whatever.
Censoring.
Self-censoring. So basically we retell a whole entire movie up until the end on all of our episodes, and we kind of made a pact that obviously if we bring up a show or bring up anything else, like, we're not gonna ruin it. But a movie like Candyman, everyone knows it's been around for so long, so I don't feel bad saying the end. So if you don't want to be spoiled, I mean, why have you not watched it yet? Hey, but what
do you think they're gonna make Candyman versus Bye Bye Man?
No, I hope not. Oh, God. These verses. Nope. So, all right. Well, if you don't really remember it, I honestly, it's been years, too. I remember being really creeped out by the film. I also feel like I remember reading an interview with Virginia Madsen saying that she had a really... She was like... If I remember correctly, she said how frightened she was.
What?
Like, in general, after making this movie. I'm pretty sure she said she was kind of like...
little antidotes to hear about, like... There was one about Bram Stoker's Dracula when they were doing the the bat scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were saying there was eerie like feeling in the whole set, like and weird. people went home like they couldn't sleep or they had trouble sleeping.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it happens, right? Some of these things are pretty dark, but the movie with all so basically her character at the basically running in with the spirit Candyman, which is basically another version of Bloody Mary, right? Like you say his name in the mirror three times or whatever it was, he appears. So by running in with the spirit, she winds up dying. Spoiler alert. And at the very end, I think what's cool is her no good cheating husband is in the mirror. I think he's like remorseful of her dying or something. It's been a long time, but I think he says her name, Helen in the mirror.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and kills his ass.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
I did not know this. I just looked it up.
Oh, you did?
No.
Oh.
Oh, what do you mean?
What did you look up?
Oh, who wrote the original story?
Of Candyman?
Yeah.
Who?
Clive Barker.
Oh, right.
Fuck yeah, man. Yeah. I love Clive Barker. He's
the best.
Yeah.
So you want to watch that too? Let's just add that to a list of movies we're going to re-go back and watch.
I didn't
watch.
Say that. Maybe I'll just read the short story. The Forbidden. That's what it's called.
Oh.
Yep.
Interesting. Wait, you don't want to watch Candyman? Really?
I don't know. Maybe. It's Bye Bye Man, right?
I don't know.
I'll just go watch Bye Bye Man. Probably has better special effects.
I have a feeling it doesn't, but whatever.
Wait, hold on a second. You don't think it doesn't?
No.
Then Candyman?
I think older scary movies hold up. What year? God, let me Google something else for you.
1992.
1992?
Yeah, it was a trivia question.
It was pretty scary. So I remember it as a kid.
Number four,
Scream. Sydney Prescott. Neve Campbell.
Resurgence of slasher film, right?
Yeah, and like a franchise that just won't die, right?
Oh, what?
A franchise of films that just won't die. Oh, you mean they just keep going. Yeah, I mean, it's like there was something that was created that just worked and it kept going. And I've seen them all.
And I mean, and by former master of horror, right?
Yeah.
Wes Craven. You know, I remember watching that movie. And
the first one?
Yeah, the first one. And it was, and what year was that? 96?
We keep doing this.
I know.
Let me see. The first one? God, you know what? I'm going to guess.
97?
I'm going to guess 96.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. 1996. I remember going to the movie theater with my best friend and seeing this. And then when it came out to Blockbuster, my mother and I stood at Blockbuster for like, I'm not even kidding you. This is what you used to do. When you wanted to get the movie that was out of stock, we stood in that Blockbuster for like 3 hours. I'm not even kidding you. I'll never forget that night. And we waited because the guy goes, like 5 copies are due back tonight. So if you wait, you can get the next one. And she and I just like dicked around in the Blockbuster all night to wait and get a copy and then watch it again because I loved it.
Thank you, Netflix.
I was younger, but I mean, I...
No, we don't have to do that anymore.
I know, thank God.
I've done that before. I think I've done that.
I did that many
times. Like hung out like Hollywood videos, whatever. Yeah. Remember that?
I used to go to Blockbuster like every Friday night and walk around for like 2 hours.
Do you remember Errol's?
Yeah, I remember Errol's.
And those boxes that he came in, those VHS came in, they looked like books.
Yeah, they opened up like really weird.
They slid out. There was a foam inside you slid.
That too, yeah, I do remember that.
Oh my God.
I remember Blair Video. Is Blair Video like a chain or was that just
I don't know.
There was a Blair Video and in the back... I can't believe I was allowed to get these. I was so young. I'm not even kidding you.
Porn?
No, I wasn't getting porn, but I think it was back there too. There was a back area with like rated R and, you know, whatever, explicit films. And I used to go back there and get the Faces of Death movies as a kid.
Yeah, I guess as a kid, yeah, it's pretty shocking.
I mean, I remember me and my best friend were watching this in fifth grade, like on girl night. It's crazy.
I know, but it was all just...
I know. I miss...
If you watch those things now, it's just so stupid.
I like, so oh miss. Like, I used to think they were real up until a couple of years ago. I thought the scene where the people were sitting... No.
That was an alligator.
I remember that one. Yeah. Spins. That. I still think that there's a couple of real deaths in those movies.
No. I think there was the... What do you call them? Oh, my God. The prisoners and then the...
Like the firing range?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Fine. Firing range, but...
I forget.
I can't think of anything anymore.
I can't remember.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, the one scene that always stood out to me was the little monkey that...
Oh, they're the eating poor the brain?
Little, yeah.
house. And they like hit him on his head. And he's like, and I could not. I was like, I just can't with these people, these rich fucking people that eat monkeys' brains. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Oh, man.
So I looked it up like a few years ago, and it's not real. Yeah. I was like, thank God. But I kind of believe people do that.
Yeah. Well, no, but going back to Scream.
So can we talk about Neve Campbell a little bit and Scream, the franchise itself? I know, this is what happens. Here's the thing. The reason why I think she should be on the list, her character, is she is not batshit crazy yet after how many incidents where people are trying to murder her ass? And like, they're all family members mostly. Well, so it starts.
That's a movie, that's why.
I know, it's absurd though. So she's, and she like kills them all. She's a badass. So she just says,
giving it away. We're giving all the movies away.
If you have not seen Scream, also spoiler alert, but her boyfriend tries to kill her at the end because he's pissed at her because her mom was apparently slutty and her father had cheated on his mother with Neve Campbell's mother or Sidney Prescott's mother. Yeah, yeah. And so basically he wants to kill her because, you know, his mom left his dad. Yeah. Then in the second movie, guess what? Well, Mrs. Loomis tries to come back and kill her killed her son. I'm like, well, he tried to kill her, bitch.
The first one was a classic,
so
right?
So good.
And it's a... I've talked to people that
don't believe that's true, but...
What?
Like, I've talked to people who are like, oh, it's so bad. Like, that's not a classic. And I'm like, yes,
it is.
The
first one?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. because it's a reimagining of teenage slasher films.
Yeah.
You know, for the modern day. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, what that movie.
And he like, spawned. And Wes Craven like pokes fun at horror films. Yeah,
his
in
own
general.
Films.
Yeah, he's like, when they're standing there on the porch and what's her face? Rose McGowan says something about like.
The Last House?
Rose McGowan on the porch in the first Scream, they're talking, her and Neve Campbell are talking, and she's like, you're starting to sound like one of those Wes Carpenter films, like mixing the names.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny.
But I mean, that thing spawned how many?
Five
No, not its own sequels, but like wannabes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right? Or like, Wrong Turn.
And they even mock that because there's a movie called, what's the series called that comes in, like it's in Scream. Remember at the very end, she's like, this is going to start.
Well, I know what you did last summer.
No. Oh. There's Stab. There's a series called Stab. That's in the Scream movies. Oh,
right. The fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and then it becomes, and it keeps going on throughout the whole series, which is pretty awesome. It's like it starts running parallel, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. The first one's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
So it's like, so she tries to get, her boyfriend, the boyfriend's mother, her brother-in-law. No, I'm sorry. Her half-brother, who's pissed that he got rejected by her slutty mother. He tries to come and kill her. Then her
is that Matthew Lillard?
No, that was the friend in the first movie. Episode three or four.
Yeah.
I can't remember the order now. And then her like stupid little bitch cousin tries to kill her because she's like she wants the fanfare and to become popular like Sidney Prescott did.
And every,
it's nuts.
What is it?
And then every, a couple like conspirators in each one.
Up and coming actor and actress, like young actress. And actors, like, they were in that movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, a thing to be
like
in.
Timothy Oliphant. I'm pretty sure he's Mickey, the horror movie guy. And is that right? Oh, my God. Am I remembering that right? In Scream 3, I want to say. No, it's Scream 2. Let me see. Mickey. I got to find this out. Yeah. Is it? That's him, right?
I can't see a laptop. It's okay. I believe you.
That's him, right? Or is that an actor that looks just like him?
There's so many tiny fingerprints on your screen, I can't tell.
Oh my God. I'm bad at Googling.
Those fingerprints? Is that an iPad? What the heck?
All right. So whether or not that's Timothy, your boy Timothy, I'm pretty sure it is. It is. It's a young Timothy Oliphant who now is in... What's the show that we're watching with Drew Barrymore right now?
Oh my God. What is that called? It's like a...
Oh my God. We're so blanking right now.
The suburban name, right?
Yeah.
Something county. I don't know. Who cares? It's not good.
I watched the whole thing and I don't love it. Wait, I did. I watched all of them.
After watching that one episode here?
Yeah. And I can't even remember the fucking name right now.
Like, I don't know.
Like, it's in the back of my head.
But you watched the whole season?
I did. I don't want to talk about it.
Wow.
I went home and I just...
So it doesn't get any better?
No.
Wow.
I really like Timothy Olyphant, but I don't really like Drew Barrymore in this at all. Clarita? Clarita Diet. Santa Clarita Diet. Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank God. We're here. Yeah. All right. So number three, you pick this one. You're next.
Yeah.
With Aaron is the character played by Sharni Vinson.
This film, I own this film. And I like it for many. I think I've watched it probably like five times. Because I will watch it and I show it to people and I'll watch
it
with them.
And you showed it to me.
Yeah, and then I watch it with them.
Yeah.
Because it takes, it's sort of a home invasion movie, like The Strangers. And there's an amazing plot twist. Not amazing, but there's some plot twist that happens along the way. And I think it's an Australian film. So all the actors and actresses are like no name. Like we don't even recognize them.
Well, Sharni Vinson, right? I just watched that movie Patrick the other night and I posted about it and she's in it and she's pretty good. I like her.
I mean, but
I dig her.
But when you saw that for the first time,
I didn't know who she was.
And all the people in there.
Yeah.
It's a home invasion movie and the main character, Elise, right? Aaron. She sort of becomes this, like, she has this transformation because she's like this girlfriend who's very quiet, you know, who's invited to this her boyfriend's rich family's like getaway house. And she's sort of, you know, she's like going along, you know, we all have been in that situation where, you know, we're sort of shy in front of, you know, whether you're a significant other's family, so meeting them for the first time or whatever. And and then the whole thing turns and she becomes a hero. She takes the man and then she fights back.
Yeah.
And it's just such a refreshing, especially at the time when the movie came out, turn of events, plot wise. And you start to cheer for the characters, for her.
Yeah.
And it becomes such a fun ride after that.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie.
You're right. Because like when you reference Strangers and other movies like that, like Vacancy and all those movies where it's like the home invasion or whatever, and they don't end pretty, which was also kind of an interesting spin on horror films where it was like, oh, you know, we're not going to tie this up with a bow. People aren't going to get out alive, you know, or it's just going to be ugly. And sometimes there's not even going to be a reason for it, which is kind of scary all to itself, right? Like that people just want to come in and do something with no real reason.
But there's so many movies like that. And
that's why this one was fun.
So refreshing because it just turned it upside, you know.
Yeah. And I remember this one is a little newer, so I'm kind of hesitant to spoiling it entirely, but she does make a pretty difficult decision towards the end, but I'm pretty sure I would do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a difficult decision for Tracy Matthews. I think she, you know.
You think I'd kill a bitch?
Oh, you'd be what? Nah, son.
It's like someone at work told me once that I'm kind of like a ferret. I don't know if this is appropriate to tell somebody at work.
The smell.
Oh, I hope that's not why he said that. And I wonder, you know what? I wonder if I should have taken this comment. I kind of took it as a compliment. So he is like, you're kind of a ferret. And I was like, because basically he came over to me. He was a project guy.
He wants to wrap you around his
neck. And he was telling me, I think somebody wasn't happy with something. And I'm like, well, then look. Come and talk to me about it, you know, da, 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 like whatever. And he goes, you're so like a ferret. And he was like, you're all cute. And I think I'm pretty sure he was like, you're like cute. And, you know, like, I don't know what the other adjective, but I'm pretty sure none of the adjectives would be appropriate. But then he goes, but then if somebody like tries to come up on you or attack you, like you just fucking fight. And I'm like, what? Number one, I have never been told that in my life. Number
ferrets,
two.
Ferrets do that? They fight back?
I think that was going to be my number two. Like, I don't know enough about ferrets to know if that's my animal
and
that
I'd Beastmasters, all they did was like, they were like thieves.
And also, like,
they stole stuff.
I think he said cute and cuddly. And I'm like, are you allowed to say that to a coworker, a female coworker? And then also, like, do I really fight that hard? Am I that scrappy if somebody...
It depends on your relationship with that person.
Yeah.
If I said it when you and I were working together, you wouldn't have batted. You know what I mean? You would have been like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who it was later.
I guess it's the context. Dun, dun, dun. You were, you're not going to spoil it?
No. That's cool. And honestly, I was like, you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that as a compliment. Because you're right. I am very appropriate and professional and kind and sure, cute. And then if you fuck around, okay, I'm going to fight your ass. Just kidding. Only appropriately, though. All right. So number two, talking about someone who's going to fight back and like not give a shit. Descent. The character's name is Sarah, played by Shauna McDonald. I mean, this movie stands out.
I even like the poster of the movie.
Everything about it. Yeah. Everything about it.
Yeah.
I remember going to the movie theater.
But the poster of the movie is a playoff of what? That's a homage to what? Art.
I can picture it. She's covered in blood. Is it Carrie? No. What are you talking about?
The cover of Descent poster, it's a skull, right?
Oh, it's a skull. I'm thinking of the photo of her covered in blood.
But, yeah, okay. But the skull is what? It's formed by women, and they're all the five women. They form their skull with their bodies, right?
Oh.
And it's a homage to what? Famous photographer. Oh, my God. You don't know
Salvador. I can't even picture the poster right now. I'm sorry. Tell me who it is.
Salvador Dali.
Oh.
Remember that poster?
My favorite artist. Yeah.
Oh, it's different. And you were like,
I can't picture the poster right now.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm picturing like her covered in blood in the blood water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember going to the movie theater to see this when I was away at a beach one weekend. It was like a rainy night.
Oh, you saw it in the movie theater?
I did.
Oh, lucky you.
And it was so good. And this was another one where
By yourself?
I went with Jeff, actually, when he and I first started dating. Because what year did that come out? Like 2006?
Damn it. I just like went away from it.
It had to have been like 2006 or 7 maybe.
Yeah, it's early 2005.
2005. So it was just when he and I met. And we went on to the movies on a rainy night. And I remember just coming out being like, holy shit. I could not stop talking about that movie and thinking about it. And like replaying the ending. And then I'm pretty sure there's a... pretty sure there's there's a alternate ending to
that
film. Yeah.
There is. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And just all of it is just badass. And what do you remember about that movie the most?
Well, a couple many things. I watched that movie multiple times as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are those things called?
The creatures.
Yeah, but what are those little animals that go on the ground and they don't have eyes and they burrow on the
shrews.
Ground. Gophers.
They like moles.
Moles. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Moles. Mole people, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they first see him on the little viewfinder.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was like
so good.
It's just the way it was shot, and mm-hmm. he like looks over, comes back, and mm-hmm. he's in the background.
I just love how they created these new monsters.
Yeah.
That. It was just so, I thought like, I just thought it was very smart.
The humans,
yeah, that
right?
have evolved over time. And that obviously this was a cave that no one has ever splunked before or whatever. And
so I did the director, Neil Marshall, I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
He does an amazing job of like creating, and people like hate those tight spaces, the claustrophobic spaces.
Oh my God, yeah. Are you kidding me?
And he spends the first 30 minutes of the movie. And all it is,
totally. just crawling
creating,
through.
Creating tension, right? Yeah. With
just
with
like jump scares kind of do, right?
No, actually, exact opposite, and slowly creating this tension.
You're using the environment to
now, and then now you're with them. You're like, oh my God, this place is so freaking like tight. They can't go anywhere.
There's that one scene where like one of them can't get through a space, and I remember just being like taking breaths constantly.
Breath.
I was like, oh my God, get through it already!
It
like really shaking, shaking my body off.
So that alone was scary.
Yeah,
but then Neil's like, no, I'm gonna put monsters up in this. I turn it into like a video game, right? And that's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
it would just be like a nature versus humanity film. So
and then,
now it's like.
Remember that girl? I think she breaks her leg.
Yeah.
And then they
she
have
puts
to carry
a splint
her.
On it. Yeah.
Oh, man. It was gory, too. I think they show it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they show it.
But then.
And another scene that I really like when she jumps into the pool of like blood, like dead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then
that's
she's like.
And that's the picture I'm thinking about. Yeah. I think there must be an alternate poster. Or maybe it's just the main visual of the movie.
But, there is.
Okay.
When she's coming out and she's like. Ah!
Yeah.
Like screaming or all like Rambo.
Oh God. Right? So good. And so, here's another, Virginia Madsen's character, someone who's going to kill a bitch for, kind of cheating. Right.
Right.
And so when she finds out that this bitch has been cheating with, she was cheating with her husband, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so she takes a fucking, what's that thing called? Like that you go hiking with? Like,
I don't even know what that.
She takes that thing to her head, right?
It's a, yeah. It's
oh a, my God. A thing. The whole thing was just good. And I feel like the darkness of it, just all of it. Oh my God. I just love that movie. But she was just a killer character. And also the way that it started. I mean, she was so like, wasn't she not talking very much? And they were trying to get her out of, my brain is a little foggy, but weren't they trying to like get her out after the horrible incidents that kind of start the movie? There's a car accident, right?
She loses
her kid
and her husband.
And so they're trying to get her out and about, and just the fact that like she's kind of weak and feeble almost, and just like hurt and just, depressed.
Yeah,
and
and
then she recovering. Comes out, right? It's like, gosh, don't back me into a corner like a ferret, I suppose.
So do you remember the alternate ending? She stays down there, right? She gets trapped. That's the alternate ending. She never escapes.
Yeah.
Because the original
right.
ending
she
is...
She gets out in the car, and then she looks to her right, and she sees the girl that she killed, right?
It's a dream.
Right.
And then she wakes up in the car, that truck driving by.
Yeah. Or something.
And I think that's it.
Yeah. Maybe. I think the alternate version is that it does allude to the fact that she gets out, but she doesn't really get out. Or it seems like she does, but she's...
It's the other way, right?
Right.
Yeah. She thinks she got out, but she didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad it didn't end like that.
What? Bleak?
Yeah. Well, she deserved to get out. She deserved freedom.
They have to make a sequel. They did make a sequel.
And I don't think I saw that. Yeah. Me. So number one. Dun, da, da, da.
Why is this number one?
Alien? Ellen Ripley, played by Sigourney Weaver. The great Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Why is this number one? Are you serious? I mean, do you know another badass bitch who can live in space and kill aliens and do everything she did? Do you remember them?
Not right on the spot.
And I guess I'm talking about the whole franchise again, but man, she's just like...
Yeah.
She has that like killer line.
What?
Get away from her, you bitch.
That's part two.
I know. I've said the franchise, like all of them.
Yeah.
She's like just the baddest bitch ever in these movies.
The actress as well.
Yeah, totally. So I don't really think there's too much to say about the movie. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen these.
I remember watching the first movie and that scene on the table.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I was like, oh, what am I looking at? I was like, I was frightened.
I know.
I was like, holy crap.
I know.
And then I remember as a kid so disappointed that you can't get a clear look of the alien. And I was like, oh, what they look like? I want to see what the heck. You know, like.
Right.
And then in part two, oh my God, this is all over the place.
I know.
Yeah.
And there's so many like great actors in the movie.
Did you know I recently bought one and two? Like.
You did?
Yeah, on Blu-ray and like on a special edition or whatever. Impulse buy. But they were like $5. They were like.
I love
so
when
cheap.
You find cheap movies like that.
Yeah.
The classics.
Yeah. And it's got this like...
I somehow keep them in plastic and never find time to actually put them into
designy,
my DVD player.
Designy boxes that it comes in. and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I picked it up.
And then given that, I think...
Okay, go ahead.
Well, John Hurt. I mean, he just passed away. So let's just give a nod to him. What? He was in the movie.
Okay.
You don't remember?
It was
a classic scene, man. R.I.P. Right. John Hurt,
I didn't
too.
Know we're doing that. Okay.
I'm just, you know, look, this whole episode's been about women.
First
I'm not going to end
can
on
I just
a,
say something?
Now I can't end
I
on
just,
a man,
it's
right?
Not a mini. It's not a mini episode.
I didn't call it mini. Well, maybe I did. I called it special. Special sode. Well, special anyway, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, this may be the last time that you guys hear Tracy speak.
Stop saying that. You're putting a jinx on me.
I am going to...
Didn't we just say, like, I'm a badass bitch? If anybody tries to come... Oh, I thought you said I would, like... Maybe... Did you take...
What?
What did you say about me? You didn't call me badass? All right, so I'm not badass.
No, I just said that... Oh, my God. It was about you're next.
Oh.
At the end.
I wouldn't think twice
about it.
That's the thing. If somebody comes up on me in South Africa, pow, 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 with my fist.
No. So I'm going to do a homework while you're in Africa.
Okay.
South Africa. I'm going to try to find South African horror film.
Okay, cool. Do it.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Because we have been doing a really good job of jumping around country to country. And that would be awesome to come back and do a South African film. And maybe we'll drink some South African wine.
No,
good?
No, pass.
Well, I'm going to be going through South African wine sick. Country, but,
I don't
but
get there's, sick.
It's not going to get you sick. I'll drink your half then. Okay. All right, guys. We appreciate it. We're not doing listener mail this week, but tune in next
time. Because no one's writing in.
That's not true.
I know. I'm just
we do only have one more to read left, though. So we really hope if you're listening right now, please, 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 please. I'm asking you as a friend and as a listener of this wonderful podcast to email us at onefinalscare@gmail.com. And write us your
first. Say that again. I spoke.
Because you were talking over me.
Yeah.
I know. onefinalscare@gmail.com. Email us your first horror experience, your first horror movie, the first horror show you ever watched, anything. Just anything that made you.
It doesn't even have to be first anymore.
Your first memory of it.
Yeah, yeah. Or the one that's more memorable.
The most memorable. Yeah. Or the like a franchise of films that got you into the, in, as a fan.
So these films are out of the running. Don't do Exorcist. Or Poltergeist. Or Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
There's been done.
There's been some multiple, good ones. Yeah. So far, we've had no overlaps.
We did.
No, we didn't.
It was Exorcist. Oh,
no, well, we didn't.
The person didn't write in. She was going to, but she didn't. That's right.
We haven't had any overlap so far. Yeah. So please, please write us and get creative. It can be short, just a paragraph or whatever. And we'll read it at the end. You know.
Just be telling, man.
Just tell us. Creative. Tell us what happened.
It was dark and stormy night.
And if this is your first episode, go back and listen to some of the other ones, and you'll hear some of the other listener mail.
Okay, everyone, say goodbye to Jessica. Oh my God,
who the fuck is Jessica?
Because we're talking about that movie.
What movie?
Jessica's
Jennifer's Body.
Oh my God,
who's Jessica though?
Oh my God. Oh, the girl who. Supposed to write in about the Exorcist.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're just all over the place.
I am.
All right. So thank you guys all for listening. Thanks
for listening. Goodbye to Tracy forever.
Please stop saying it. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. We really, really do.
I'll return next month as a one man show.
And I will too. As the woman in this one man show.
This dead horse.
Yep. Okay. All right, guys. I'll see you after I get back. Stay scared.
This is Minky Kim.
This is Tracy Matthews.
Bye.
Bye.